Chabez Amid Aleph, all the way on top. No, before the Mishnah, all the way on top. Ma'aseh Shavu Lo Yoseh Me'Abayim Zug. In the previous Mishnah on Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, it says that the witnesses in Mechalo Shabbos to come and testify that they saw the moon. So the Mishnah tells a story that 40 pairs of witnesses came on the way, and Rabbi Kiva stopped them in Lud, because obviously the moon was so clear that everybody saw it. And then Gamliel said to him, if you're stopping them now, so they won't come when they need to become, and you're making it worse. So all the way on top, the Mishnah says, Ma'aseh Shavu Lo Yoseh Me'Abayim Zug, Ve'ikvim Rabbi Kiva. And Rabbi Kiva stopped him, and Gamliel told him off. So the Gemara says, Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Am Rabbi Yehuda, Chas V'Shom Shere Rabbi Kiva Ikvim, Chas V'Shom, to say that Rabbi Kiva stopped him, because Rabbi Kiva would understand that the witnesses would have to come. Ela Shezafer Reish Shogeder Ikvim. But the one that stopped him was the person Shezafer, who was the head of the Gadar. Meaning, he was the one that detained them. No, it wasn't Rabbi Kiva, it was his day Shezafer. V'sholach Ram Gamliel, and Ram Gamliel sent him a letter, V'eridu Megdulasi. They took him off from his greatness. Now, he was a big macher, and because of this story, Rabbi Kiva, Ram Gamliel fired him from his job. Okay, now the new Mishnah.
What is
his name? Shezafer.
No, but what position he had?
He was the head of Geder Ikvim.
So was
it Geder? No, I mean, it was the name of a place. He was like the chief rabbi of the city of whatever, something like that. So now the Gemara says, Avu b'nei shara'a sachedish. Now the Mishnah is discussing the problem with the witnesses themselves. What happened if a father and a son saw the new moon? So it says, Yelchu, they should go together anyway. Even though L'cha'era, the father and the son are not going to be kosher witnesses, because they're related, nevertheless, they should go. Why? Because Leishim is tired from Zem Zeh, not that they can join together as testimony, because this Tana holds, witnesses, relatives cannot testify for the new month. Elo, Shemi Posel, Lechem Mehem, in case one of them becomes disqualified, Yistarif Hasheni Amachet. The second one can join another person to be two kosher witnesses. So therefore, let them both go, because we might need them. Even though together, they're not allowed to testify.
How far do we go with the relative? How far do we go? I mean, is a cousin also called relative in this case? I mean, how far do we
according
go?
We'll soon see, because Reb Shimon holds that... One second. Okay. After the Mishnah, we'll talk about it. Reb Shimon, named Reb Shimon, says... A father and a son and all relatives are kosher for witnesses testifying in the new month. Now, it's a given. Relatives are not kosher witnesses. According to Rab Shimon, there's an exception by Kiddush HaChedesh. Why is there an exception? Because, as the Gemara is going to explain, when Hashem told Moshe and Aaron the laws of Kiddush HaChedesh, Moshe and Aaron are brothers. So the fact that Hashem told Moshe and Aaron together shows that even brothers, relatives, could be kosher for this type of testimony. But Rabbi Yehesi said, so there's a machlekes between the first Tana and the Rabbi Shimon. The first Tana says relatives are not kosher. Why do relatives go? In case we need one of them with somebody else. Rabbi Shimon said no, they should go because they themselves could testify. So Rabbi Yehesi, there's a story with Maisi b'tevi arefi. It's a story with Tevia the doctor. That was his name, Tevia the doctor. Shadah Sachedish B'Yerushalayim. He saw the new moon in Yerushalayim. Who saw it? Who ubnei? Him and his son. Ve'avdi Meshuchrer and the freed slave. Now, the freed slave is a Goyish slave. Okay? And now that he was freed, he's a full-fledged Jew. So the three of them saw Kiddush HaChedesh. So what happened? The Kibla Kainim Esiv Ez Benay, the Kainim, meaning the Kainim of the Bezdin, that's what it means, the Bezdin of Yerushalayim, accepted him and his son. The Apostle Asabdi disqualified his slave. Why? Because they learn out from Psukim that you have to be all the way Jewish, lineage Jewish. Not even a get, according to this opinion, would not be kosher. So they accepted him and his son. That means they held relatives are kosher, but not people that don't have a lineage of Jews. When they came to the Bezdin, they accepted him and his son. They accepted him and the Eved, and they disqualified the son. In other words, just the opposite. They held relatives and not kosher. But lineage you don't need. So the Bezdin accepted him and the Eved, and the Kayanim accepted him and his son. That's what Rabbi Yossi is saying, a story about concerning the argument between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim if relatives are good. So we find, Rabbi Yossi says, we find the same story that the Kayanim accepted the father and the son, and the Bezdin accepted him and his Eved.
But isn't it the business with the Chakira? What the Kohanim has to do over here? What the Kohanim have to...
Huh?
But they
kind of
have to mix in
the they talk about it. How do Kayanim get in over here? But let's leave it at that. I mean, they bring down Sfarim, didn't see it. But the Mefarshim discuss what do Kayanim get over here? It's Lechere Bezdin.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Now, how far do you go in relatives? It's like this. There's Rishon Berishon, Sheni Besheni, Shlishi Beshlishi. Now, Rishon Berishon is like two brothers. First and first. Father and a son, two brothers are called first and first. No good. Sheni b'sheni.
Cousins.
No good.
From each side.
Right. No good.
From mother's side, father's side.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Now, brother and a brother are first and first. So cousins are second, second. Mm-hmm. Then there's shlishi b'shlishi, let's say it would be their kids, second cousins.
First cousin once removed.
Or first cousin, well, no. The way it works is two brothers are Rishon B'Rishon or father and a son, doesn't matter. Their kids are Sheni B'Sheni, their kids are Shlishi B'Shlishi. Okay? Now, Rishon B'Rishon is not good, Sheni B'Sheni is not good. Shlishi B'Shlishi is good, Shlishi B'Sheni is good. Shlishi B'Sheni is good. That means first cousin, once removed, it would be kosher. This is only B'Diavad. The Chatchil, it says in Halacha, you're not allowed to take even the most distant relative.
That's even also for Kiddush and Oichet?
Yeah. All things. Except Kiddush and Chedush, according to Rabbi Shimon, you could take relatives. Then you have a Shaila. How about their wives? Or their husbands? I mean, wives can be kosher witnesses. For instance, what happens if you have two girl cousins? So they're related, right? So besides the fact that the women, two cousins, cannot testify. Right? What happens to their husbands to one another? Now, their husbands are only not blood relatives. So the whole discussion was called Baal Ki Ishtay, or do you say Trei Baal Ki Ishtay? Meaning, one husband cannot testify for his wife's cousin. But according to certain opinions, two husbands can testify against each other, or with each other. They're not called relatives. But again, today it's not done at all. You don't use them.
How about third cousin?
Third cousins already, even the chatchil, you don't use them. If there's nobody else, you're allowed to use them, because even second cousins are technically kosher.
Now, by the case of the gear of Ira, how far back do we go for another gear? The Yichus, how far back? You know, it was three generations before there was gear. Still is considered a gear inside that Indian, or.
Right.
Or just
Taisa says, because the miyuchas muta ger umamzer. They learn now, Taisa and the Tab over here learns, that this opinion says that an Eved is not kosher because a ger would not be kosher for Eidus HaChedesh, and for other things a ger would be a kosher witness.
No, but
not for Eidus HaChedesh.
What if his father was a ger, or his grandfather was a ger?
That's fine.
Right.
Okay, now the Gemara says, Amar Ablevi said, my time with Rav Shimon, what's the reason of Rav Shimon that Rav Shimon holds relatives are allowed to be kosher witnesses for testifying of the month? Because it says in the Pasuk, Hashem said to Meish, not in Eretz Mitzrayim Lema, Achedesh Azalochem, this Chedesh should be for you. And who's he talking to? Meish and Aaron. And he says, this month should be for you. It shows that these two, even though they're brothers, obviously they're related, so do Eid Zu, take Sheira Bechem, this testimony could be kosher with you, even though they're brothers, but it's exeris kasuv. Again, like we said before, everybody holds by regular testimony, it's not kosher. But over here, that there's a straightforward pasuk. Achedesh azalachem, for you may shenadin, teaches us that they're kosher witnesses. Then the Okay, then the Gemara says, the Rabbanan, I, the Rabbanan, Lachayda, the Rabbanan say relatives and not kosher witnesses. I, it says, Achayda Shazar Lachem. So he says, what it means is, Eidu Zutay Mesura Lachem. That it has to be Dafka for you. What does it mean? Just like mentioned, now we're the greatest sages. Who could proclaim that Ashchaydish, the greatest sage? And therefore, to the whole Shaila, what happens if the greatest sage is not there? The Gemara later is going to talk about cases that Rabbi Kiva, who was the head of the Bezdin, wasn't even there, and if they did it, then could you do it chutzlar? It's a whole discussion. So Rabbi Shimon says, Achedish as a lochem means you two even relatives are kosher. The Chachamim say, no, it doesn't mean relatives are kosher. What it means is that Josik lochem, you are the two greatest scholars who could proclaim the Achedish not have a yukul. It has to be Dafka, the greatest scholars.
Okay. That's what
they have
to go to
the Yerushalayim to be Sinai Godus. Right. Then the Gemara is quoting the Mishnah. There's a story with Tuvia, the doctor, that came him and his son and the Eved that was freed. So the Kayanim accepted, like it said in the Mishnah, the Kayanim accepted him and his son. And the Bezdin accepted him and the Eved. So the Gemara says, Amar of Chanan Barove, Halacha Krab Shimon. The halacha is like Krab Shimon, that what? That relatives are kosher to testify for Kiddush HaChedish. Amar le Rav Huna, Rav Chanan Barove, so Rav Huna said to Rav Chanan Barove, Amisha says Rabbi Yasi, argues with Rab Shimon, because what did Rabbi Yasi say? That in the story to Via Reife, the Bezdin didn't accept the father and son. And it wasn't the Kayanim that made the ultimate decision, it was the Bezdin. And the Bezdin didn't accept the father and the son. So how could you say that Allah is like Rab Shimon that said that a father and son are good? So he says, Rabbi Yasi argues, Umaisi, no, not only that, but he actually brings a story. The atamata luchos like Rab Shimon, and you're telling me the halacha is like Rab Shimon. Amalei, but he said one minute, hazim and sagim. But many times, Amri sekamei, I said before Rav, hilchos like Rab Shimon, that the halacha is like Rab Shimon. That's what I told Rav, that the halacha is like Rab Shimon, that a father and a son are kosher witnesses. V'leyam avlei midi, and he never told me anything, which means even Rav agreed with it. So what do you want from me? Rav also agreed that a father and a son are kosher witnesses. But Rav Huna was afraid that they misquoted the Mishnah to Rav. So he said to him, Amalei, Rav Huna, Rav Chanan Barove said, Heicha Tanis, how did you learn the Mishnah before Rav? Because, again, everything was so oral. They used to mix up names and say different names. Amalei, he said to him, the truth is, Ipcha, I said it the other way around. Meaning that Rabbi Yasi said they're kosher, and Rabbi Shimon said the story that they're not kosher. Amalei, Mishum Hocha, Layam of Lachm Lidi. That's why Rab didn't tell you anything. When you said Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, what you really said is that they're no good. So why are you telling me not that they're good? So the Gemara says, Amad, Tavi, Berei Demari Tavi. Amar Marukva Mishmul, but Tavi, the son of Matavi, son of the name of Marukva, who said the name of Shmuel, Hilchasik Rab Shimon, the halacha is like Rab Shimon, that they are kosher.
Father and son.
That they're not kosher. I'm sorry, Hilchasik Rab Shimon, he wants to say that the halacha is that they're kosher. But I'm saying, I was jumping the gun, but the halacha is that not kosher. In fact, he brings down that there's a certain version over here that says, Ein halacha k'Rab Shimon. Not halacha k'Rab Shimon, Ein halacha k'Rab Shimon. But the bottom line is, the halacha is that they're not kosher.
So far, the son is not.
In fact, he quotes the Shein Rabbeinu Chananu, Rambam, all the poskim say, the halacha is not the k'Rab Shimon, and therefore a father and son are not kosher to testify. Ayat says lochem. It means that it's given over to the head of the Beis Din.
But even avodim, they're not accepted either.
Well, lochayr, according to the outcome of the Gemara, they should be. Because in the story of Rabbi Yossi, the Beis Din accepted the Eved, and not, but it was a freed Eved, not a regular. You're right, the regular Eved not. Here is speaking Eved Meshuchr. A freed Eved was kosher. Even though one opinion the Gemara said no, but the Gemara paskins that they were kosher because he was freed, so he was a full-fledged Jew. So then it would be good. Okay, the next Mishnah discusses as follows. Which witnesses are not kosher? So first this Mishnah was discussing relatives and avodim. Now the next din is sinners and not kosher witnesses. Now the Gemara is going to discuss who are considered sinners. Because the Pasuk says, Al tashis yotche mirasha, li yaseit chamis. You shouldn't place your hand with a wicked person to be a witness. So the Gemara says clearly, Rishoyim are wicked, wicked people are not kosher witnesses. But now, the Gemara is going to discuss how about certain people that are not real sinners. In other words, a ganef is for sure not a kosher witness. I don't need the Mishnah. It's a pasuk in Chumash. A person who sins is not a kosher witness. But now, the Mishnah is going to discuss half-sinners. So you'll soon see what the Mishnah says.
In Edus, anything you mean?
Edus, in anything.
Anything.
Sure. Right. Okay. So now it says, Eilun Epsulim, these are the people that are apostle to testify. Hamesachi Bekuvia, which in English is called a gambler, literally means a guy that plays with dice. Rashi explains what was Kuvia, little bones that they used to gamble with. Now why is a gambler not a kosher? He's called a rabbinic ganef. A gambler is a rabbinic ganef. Why? Because when a person gambles, his intention is to win, not to lose. So when he loses, he really doesn't want to give up the money. So when you take his money, it's called rabbinic stealing. What is like
when
this?
You sell something, you don't want to give the guy money either. I mean,
no, because that's, you want to give the guy money because you want the object is worth more than the money. But here's what's called a smachta. A smachta is I'm not planning to lose. My intention is not to lose. I was hoping to win. So when I'm losing, I'm not happy with it, and I'm not willing to give up the money. I have no choice, but I'm not willing to give up the money.
So the lottery is not gambling,
huh?
Because everyone intends to lose, and
everyone knows losing.
But the old masking that's the laugh of the game. That,
right.
That, you know. You lose or you win.
Right. So what?
If that's the case, no one wants to lose money. If that's the case, the person's
not. Talk about the taking of the money. The guy who loses the money can testify. It's the guy that wins the money can't. Even though they really both can't. He explains as follows. But one gives payment, such a game is considered a smachta, an unwilling payment based on the unfounded expectation that he would not lose. As a result, the Chum deems such an obligation non-binding, and when the winner collects his winnings, he is back taking money that he's not legally allowed to take. According to the Torah, you have no right to pay it. If you went to Bezdin wouldn't make you pay it in a gambling game. In Torah law, I'm not talking about any civil law, Torah law. So when the guy collects the money, or like he gives another example, Malavi Beribis, if you lend money with interest, Lochedi, you're not stealing. The guy's giving you the interest. He wants the interest. So still stealing.
Now, how about playing cards? Is that the same thing, gambler? It's all the same thing. Playing cards.
Yeah, it's all the same. Or he says, Mafriche Yainim, dove racers. They used to race birds. And the Pesukim write clearly, it doesn't matter whether it's dog races, horse races. Any guy that bets on horses, and doves, and any type of races is postulatus. Now,
stock market?
No.
You're not planning to lose, are you?
And when you invest money in a business, stock market is an investment in a business.
Were you expecting to betting that the stock is?
Yeah, but if I invest money in a business and lose money, I'm not a gambler.
Yeah.
Walking in the street today, you're a gambler. You might get hit by a car. You might not get it.
Different.
Huh?
I mean, Or in both places you're not expecting to lose.
So explained. So it's explained in halacha. Even here, the Gemara doesn't discuss it. In halacha discusses that that's basically when they make their living out of this. Not a guy that goes to Vegas to gamble every so often. A guy that's a professional gambler, or a professional horse racer, or a professional this, they're postulators.
The person who lives off the stock market.
Huh?
The person who's living.
It's not. It's investing in business. Stock market is not.
Are you expecting to lose though? I mean, you could use the same exact logic.
No, this is not an official called gambling. Stock market is not legally called gambling. Because stock market is basically an investment in a business. What is it? You buy stock in a business, means you're investing in the business.
Who's defining gambling? Is it the public belief, or is it by the Gemara?
No, the Torah law discusses what it is. Oh. Horse races. Horse races is not I'm investing in a business. Horse races, I'm gambling which horse is going to come first, or dove, or dice, or whatever. Stock market is I'm investing in a business. It's not, like you said, it's not luck. I mean, it is luck, right?
Yeah.
To be in the market, the right place,
no,
the right time.
But like the dice is purely like...
So but market is an intellectual investment in a business. I see the business is going well. That's officially what it is.
You're buying lottery. Are you allowed to on a regular basis for time?
Nobody's making a living from it, trust me. You lose a buck a week, yeah, 2 weeks. No, you're allowed to do it.
I'm sorry?
You're allowed to do it. Or you buy a raffle ticket. A school sells a raffle. How could school sell raffle tickets? It's gambling. It's not gambling.
So you go to Las Vegas and gamble once in a while?
Do you become disqualified as a witness? No. Is it something for a Jew to do? You shouldn't do it. Because it becomes addicted. Becomes addictive, then you become it. Addictive gamblers become started with one time going to Vegas. They didn't start.
So he's taking a drink.
Right? Huh?
So he's taking a drink.
I said, "Walk. You're driving a car. Is a gamble today?"
So you can't use that logic.
At the question, they make a profession out of it. Then he says. And also Seichel Shvius, people that make money from merchandise of Shvius, Shemitah, when you're not allowed to do business, you know which Shemitah, and they make a business out of it, or Avadim slaves. Slaves that are still slaves. We're not talking about Yiddish slaves. Yiddish slaves are full-fledged Yidden. Goyish slaves, when you buy a Goyish slave, you give him a bris, he goes to the mikveh, he becomes obligated in the mitzvahs like women. Becomes obligated in the mitzvahs like women. But it says that cloud, this is the rule. Kol edus sheinu ishek sheda lo, any testimony where a woman cannot testify, af elu enim kshem, they're also not kosher to testify. Okay? Now, the Gemara is going to explain later that just like the Pasuk says, how do we know women are not kosher to testify? Because it says, v'amdu shnei anoshim. Two men have to testify. The Torah says clearly, two men have to testify. It has to be men. So the Gemara learns out from there that women are disqualified. And therefore all these people are also disqualified. So the Gemara asks, are you telling me in a case where a woman is kosher to testify, are you going to tell me that these people are kosher to testify? It's not true. I mean, that's the question. So the Gemara answers, Taka Amar Avashi, yes, you're right. Zaysimaris just teaches us Gazan the Devrem Ksherim Ledisisha. A rabbinic ganif is kosher to testify in the dinim of a marriage. What does it mean? The Gemara says if a woman comes and testifies a man died, the woman could remarry. Okay? What's the reason for that? Because the Chumash Shachmat, one of the reasons Chumash Shachmat Allah Besefa, because we believe any type of witness. Because if a woman won't validate the situation for sure, she's not going to remarry. Why won't a woman remarry? Because if she's lying and the husband comes back, she's stuck. She can't stay married to the first husband, and she can't stay married to a second husband. Because that's the din. Because a woman who committed adultery can't stay married not to the husband, not to the new husband. So therefore the din is that the chachamim were meiko mishum iguna, that a woman shouldn't stay in iguna, the chachamim were meikul, that the woman is allowed to testify. So from here, the Gemara said, the Mishnah said a statement that any witness, any time a woman is kosher for testimony, so are these people. So the Gemara says, Taki, you see from here that a rabbinic gazlan, such as a gambler, a horse racer, all that, could testify to say that a woman's husband died.
A woman testifies that the husband died, and then the husband comes back. What does that make the woman?
Yeah.
If what?
If the husband does come, someone testifies the husband dies.
Right.
The husband comes back. What happens then?
She got to get out of both.
But
even though there are stories, like you mentioned, that in the view, the guy said, he said, Tom, you, mm-hmm. Terry says you're dead, the guy dropped dead. I mean, but, you know, otherwise, yeah.
Doesn't the halacha, like, if they're like an isha, only apply to the vadim, but not to the gamblers?
Huh? It says, call Eid Shein Ishik Afein Kshedin La. These two are eligible, meaning all of them, Bepashtis. Because they're all rabbinic ganovim, and therefore the chacham allowed them to testify. Okay, now the Gemara, the Mishnah says a new Mishnah, and this only has a Mishnah, no Gemara. What happens if a witness saw the new month? And he can't walk. He's crippled. He can't walk. They may bring him on a donkey even on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. They can bring him. Afilu b'mita. They can even carry him in a bed. V'mtsud alahem. And if there's ambush, in the meaning the road is dangerous, so people are afraid to travel. Leichem b'yad makla. They can even take sticks with them. You know, with ammunition. V'mhaya derech rechayka. What happens if the distance was far?
Mm-hmm.
So leichem b'yad mezainis. They can even take food with them. Another on Shabbat, huh? What did you say?
Can't carry.
But for this, they can desecrate Shabbos. To testify that they saw the new moon, they're allowed to even desecrate Shabbos. That's exactly what the Mishnah is saying. They can take food, whatever they need, they could take. But the Gemara says, "But shal mahalach laila v'yeh mechalim se Shabbos v'yeh tzeleidus achodesh for a journey of a night and a day." The witnesses could desecrate Shabbos. But more than that, not. Why? Because more than that, who needs them already? By then, Bezdin already made the decision because a month could only be 29 or 30. So by the time they get there, if it's a 2-day journey, but for them to desecrate Shabbos doesn't pay because Bezdin has made their decision already. Mm-hmm. Right? So, but if it's a day and a night, they're allowed to go desecrate Shabbos because they might be the only witnesses. And if they might be the only witnesses, they're allowed to even desecrate Shabbos. Shenamar, how do we know? Because it says in the Pasuk, that these are the Yamim Tevim that you have to call in their time. And like we learned last time, in their time means even in Shabbos. So even if it means desecrating Shabbos, the fact that the Torah says it has to be done in its time teaches us he could desecrate Shabbos for it. That's the end of this pedic.
So much important.
That's how important it was, correct. Yep. Okay, next pedic, next Mishnah. What happens, now the Mishnah is discussing again with the witnesses. What happens if the Beis Din Yerushalayim doesn't know these witnesses? They don't know, are they kosher witnesses, are they Jewish? Beis Din doesn't know, so what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
So it says, Im ein makir im eisam. If the Beis Din doesn't know who these witnesses are, Mishalchen imei achel ha'idei. You send another group, even though it says achel, one person, the Gemara is going to explain, it doesn't mean a person, it means another group of witnesses to testify that the guy's kosher. And this you could do on Shabbos too. So if Beis Din didn't know who these witnesses are, you send another group. And then the Mishnah explains the scenario. But Ishaina initially, initially, Beis Din accepted everybody kosher, unless it was proved that he wasn't kosher. Mm-hmm. But Beis Din accepted, because a Jew has a cheskes kashrus, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, Mishakil kol ha-vaitusim, when the vaitusim made a mess of the situation, they used to send people the wrong days. the people didn't believe in the oral Torah. So they used to make a mess of it. They used to send people the wrong days to testify. So afterwards, they got this kina. They made a takana. They can only accept testimony from people they knew, or another group, one with this group, to testify that they knew them. But initially, they accepted everybody. And that was initially was innocent until proven guilty. And the end result was guilty until proven innocent. That's all. In this.
So the second group is a group that the Beis Din recognized.
Yeah. Right. Obviously, Beis Din didn't recognize them. They're not any better than the first group. Huh? Same thing.
You should know a lot of people from other cities. They couldn't know.
People. Yeah, but I'm saying people.
People.
But they were like the rabbanim of the city or people of the city that Beis Din knew of or whatever. It's like today when somebody wants to get married in Israel, you have to get letters from rabbis in the city you live that they're single and they're and Jewish and they're, you know, all that stuff.
Huh?
What is it called over there?
Levak.
What?
Levak, yeah.
Levak.
Levak? Vada the tea, what is it?
Whatever.
I wouldn't have any problems with
that. You might.
Not being married.
So the Gemara asks, my achad, what does it mean achad? Because achad simply, lecheda means one person. So the Gemara asks, v'chad mi me'enin, would one witness be trusted to say that these people are kosher? But Tanya, we learned, Maise Shabohu Ve'edavi Melahoid Olav, there was a story that the guy came concerning the witnesses, yeah? And it said, Aid of Imai, the witnesses were with him. That means he came with two witnesses. The Braisa says, a guy came with two witnesses to testify he was kosher. That means one witness wouldn't be kosher. How could you say over here that the Acher is one person? So Amir Rav Papa says, what does Acher mean? Acher doesn't mean another person, it means Zug Acher, another group. Zug Acher, another group, meaning two witnesses. But Acher means another group, not one guy. And he says, Ochanami Mistabram, so it is logical to say that. Why? The Ilay Temahachi, if that's not what it means. It says, Im Ein Makirin Eisei, the Mishnah says, if two witnesses come, yeah? And then it says, Beis Din doesn't recognize him. What do you mean him? We're talking about two witnesses coming. My Eisei, Ilay Ma Eisei Chad, if you say they didn't recognize one, v'chad mi mehemin, is one person believed to testify? Mishpat sibay by Kiddush Acherish says mishpat, and mishpat is dafka two witnesses. Ela my Eisei, what must we say? Eisei means Eisei azug, that pair. So the same thing. Acher my acher also means zug acher, another pair. So therefore, the Mishnah Taka says if two people come to Beis Din, if Beis Din doesn't know them, you have to send along with them another pair of, not one person, another pair of witnesses to testify that these people are kosher. And that's b'chlad the way it works. For instance, not only in Kiddush HaChodesh, if people sign in a document, let's say there's a ksuba, yeah? The witnesses signed in the ksuba 50 years ago, and the witnesses died. Now, The lady brings the ksuba to Beis Din, and the husband said, no, it's a lie. How can you verify the witnesses if they're dead? What do you do? So what Beis Din does is, they find two other people that recognize the signature of the witnesses. And they know that this is their signature. So even though they didn't see the ksuba written, they weren't even born then maybe, but they know this is the person's signature. So many times in witnesses, you bring two to testify about the two. You know, either that their writing is their signature, the you know, who they are, whatever.
But now they do notarize.
Yeah, but notarizing is not good in Torah law. Torah law had a notarization. Mm-hmm. It was called a henpik. Uh-huh. Meaning, henpik was basically, in the most practical word in English, be a notarization. What happens if a guy had two witnesses in his document and he knew that they were leaving overseas. Mm-hmm. And who knows, in olden times, you see them, you hear them, you don't know anything. So right away he went to Bezdin. Right away he went to Bezdin. And he brought these two witnesses, or witnesses that know those two witnesses. And Bezdin notarized, it's called a henpik in Gemara. Bezdin notarized the document. And once Bezdin notarizes a document, you can have a million people coming saying it's not good, it doesn't mean anything, it's going to be good.
At that time, did they write on under Kesuba or Ketuba that if you get separated...
That's the whole Kesuba, basically.
If you get separated?
Yeah. What do you think Kesuba is? If you stay married?
Yeah, I mean...
That's also obligations. But the main aspect of the Kesuba is for divorce.
So it's the same thing as...
What do you call it?
Yeah.
Huh? Prenuptial?
Yeah.
It's not prenuptial.
What's the difference between prenuptial and Kesuba?
Prenuptial is what the two people make up between themselves. The ksuba is not a prenuptial. That the ksuba is the halachic document that if, in the case of death or divorce, the woman is given X amount of money.
Only the woman?
Yeah.
Not the man?
No. Oh. It's the woman's benefit, the ksuba. The ksuba is for the woman's benefit.
American laws?
Prenuptial basically means, you know what prenuptial means in simple English? We're getting married with the intent of divorcing.
So
ketubah
is the same thing?
No.
You're getting married.
No.
In
the ksuba, the ksuba number one is not only that, by the way. There are halachic obligations of the ksuba. Even though it doesn't say it in the ksuba. The husband has to heal her if she's sick, and he has to feed her and clothe her. Okay? Now, it also is that in case they get divorced, you know...
So it's woman's right.
It's the woman's protection. And that's why the din is, if the ksuba is lost, the man cannot live with his wife until they either rewrite the new ksuba, which is called, not a regular ksuba, it's called the lost ksuba, or he has to give her something secure, collateral, until they rewrite it.
Who's going to verify about ksuba?
What,
how
today? Today, just in a practical sense, today in the ksuba, they don't collect the ksuba. Why? Because in the marriage settlement, they get much more than the ksuba says. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's they get that plus. But technically, if somebody wants to go by the ksuba, like two from a yidin that don't have a civil marriage and they're not interested in, the bezdin figures out how much the ksuba is worth in the whole thing over here.